Hi, folks. Welcome to the JavaScript for WordPress show. I'm educator Zach Gordon, and in this show, I talk with influencers in the field of JavaScript for WordPress about how they have learned JavaScript deeply and their recommendation and resources and advice for other people. So in this episode, I am really excited to have someone on the show who has helped me a ton in making this JavaScript for WordPress master course that I'm working on. And I met him at a day of rest, the first one that they had in the UK, and have just picked up so much from him. He has a great background working in WordPress. He's been coding since high school and has worked with the Roots team on a number of open source projects that help give you frameworks since kind of like Genesis, although much more wider spread than that and what it provides for developers. So has a rich experience in all sorts of cutting edge stuff there. Also has his own web development agency out in Asheville, North Carolina. Woohoo! Call out to the East Coast. Love these of Asheville. Craft Peak is what they're called. And he is the technical director over there, also does a lot of development. And like I said, I met him at the Day of Rest conference from the folks at HumanMate. And one of the great things that he brought to the table, and I loved talking with him about, was he had so much experience working with a lot of these frameworks and the API at a time just after this announcement comes out of Learn JavaScript Deeply, when a lot of folks are scrambling to learn this stuff. He already had a lot of experience, and he's someone who, as I research and prepare content, can turn to and kind of get some more firsthand production type responses and feedback on stuff that I might not know about. So I am very excited to welcome to the show Julian Melissas. Hello, Julian, man. Say hi, my friend.
Hi, everybody. How are you guys doing? Thanks for the nice intro, Zach.
Ah, man, and thank you so much for all of your help. I'm really excited to have you on the show. A lot of folks may not know you, although you do have some really cool content and talks up on WordPress.tv on like using different JavaScript frameworks. But tell us a little bit, hopefully I captured some of your work background and experience, but tell us a little bit about you just outside of your work.
Yeah, so I think like you said, I started coding in high school, but I've been a nerd for a long time, so I love lots of nerdy things. That said, outside of programming, when I'm not working, I do live in the beautiful Asheville, North Carolina. I have a dog named Wilbur. We do a lot of outdoor kind of stuff. And, you know, there's just a lot of different, a lot of different things we can do outside. So one of those things is I'm a motorcyclist, and I have a 2013 BMW GS F700 adventure bike. So as much as I can, I'm riding, you know, in the mountains.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you know, so I do that. I play in a band called Brucemont, actually, with a bunch of friends I've been playing music with since high school, and we actually just released an album. So I do
What do you play?
I play drums, yeah.
Ah, nice.
Yep. So, you know, lots of other stuff outside. Actually, tonight I'm DJing classic disco and house music at a local bar. So lots of music outside of work. I try to have a good work-life balance, even though that is something, especially when you own your own business, is impossible, as we all know.
Yeah, man. Isn't that the struggle and thing we get to learn and work with? I hear you for sure. And man, that's so cool. Like I've said, it was really great getting to know you, but also just a really cool all around person. I've had some great discussions in and outside of WordPress, but today, my friend, we're here to talk about JavaScript. So let's get in our JavaScript time machine and go way, way back to the archive.org. And man, can you tell us about when you first came across JavaScript? Like, do you remember your first lines of JavaScript code?
I do. And when you sent me, that, I remember thinking, laughing to myself, because I was trying to remember what it was. And for those who've been coding for a long time, I wonder, if you remember when you needed to swap something out on Hover, how you would write a little bit of JavaScript over an image and swap out the image, the source of the image.
Yeah. Image swapping.
Yep. There's image swapping. And it was before I knew that jQuery existed. I think it was like early days of jQuery. And I remember it didn't even work on all browsers. Like it was kind of finicky, but there was, you know, the fallback was like, okay, well, the other image might not load, right? Like, you might just have that original image, but it was kind of funny thinking about that. You know, I've been doing front end so much. Now we just take that for granted. There's CSS, There's so many different ways to do that without using JavaScript. But I remember specifically being like, the only way to change that out is JavaScript on hover.
Oh yeah, yep. Man. I remember those days, the DHTML well, and swapping things out crazy. And we've come a long way. There was also the day of like putting images in the corners of everything if you wanted rounded corners, because that wasn't really an option either.
The border images. Totally.
So. Okay, Not really, you come into it there. I'm guessing you were working on your own project or for something for a client, you know, along the way. You've done a lot of development. At what point from there was it that you felt, okay, wait, I'm coming across this more and more. I need to take a next step, whether it's copying and pasting a bunch more code or whether it's really getting into learning the language. And I'm not sure, you know, you had been coding for a long time, but what was your background in programming and development when you hit into JavaScript?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I think it's a lot of people maybe who get into web development or come from that side. You know, you start with CSS and you start with HTML, right? You learn HTML first, and then kind of single-handedly or hand in hand, you kind of work with CSS, and then you keep seeing more and more JavaScript, like, oh, I need to do this little bit of interaction. And I think the biggest thing for me remembering was menus, like looking at, you know, not necessarily mobile menus, but like when you've got to do a hover or you've got to do something like that. I think back in the day, the common practice was, and you know, this is not really that back in the day, maybe eight years ago or something like that, 7 years ago. But you know, a hover was a jQuery hover, and then you would hide or show or toggle something like that. You know what I mean? You weren't toggling classes; you were actually animating, or you were like hiding and showing based off of jQuery. And that, I think, seeing that so much, and then seeing the mobile menus and all that stuff. There was so much JavaScript. I think the other thing was, like, we've had photo galleries on the internet since the beginning of the time. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely one of the first encounters where, you know, I saw JavaScript switching out content and using jQuery for galleries. And so I think it was that point where I realized I needed to learn more. And then from there, I did a project actually that was based on, and this is a little bit of profanity, but I can't help it. There's a what the fuck should I make for dinner.com. If you guys have ever seen
it, haven't heard that. Sounds helpful.
So it's super funny. It's back in the day. It's so helpful actually. And he ended up making a cookbook because it blew up, and it's a cool app. But I really wanted to make something. I never worked with an API, and I wanted to make something that talks to an API. And I was a huge proponent and user, and I still am, of Last.fm, which is a music thing that kind of tracks what you listen to and then has all this really smart knowledge about it. And so I found out that they had an API. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to make what the fuck should I listen to right now.com, because I always have that problem. Believe it or not, the funny part, and I need to go back and rebuild it still to this day, and I really want to. It's on my list. The funny part is that I use JavaScript on that site only to submit the form to a PHP script that then goes and grabs the data from the API. So I'm so much more comfortable with PHP and then the JavaScript also swaps out. It picks like a random one and swaps it out. But PHP is doing the heavy lifting and talking to the API. And it's so funny because that's cool to do client side now. But before, it totally wasn't. So, you know, so anyways, that was the first time I think where I was like, I need to learn JavaScript deeply. Now I'm going to actually go and do it. And somebody, so I had a friend who actually works at MailChimp, and he was, I remember him on chat while I was asking him questions like, oh my God, how do I do this? So helpful. Great guy. It's still in production. It's huge, actually. A lot of people, I mean, I still get 5,000 hits or something. It blew up on Reddit one time. So,
oh man, that's great. So I want to say a few things about this, 'cause this is awesome.
Yeah.
One that, you know, it was it was a problem that it looks like you had on the web. Like, okay, we want to be doing advanced menus or something like that. For example, you look around, jQuery is a solution. You see that more and more, but you also got to a point where you just on your own wanted to build something with an API. And I think that that probably strikes a chord with a lot of devs out there who get into something because it's just like, no, I just really want to build it. You know, it's not necessarily the client case in that, but that you were able to do something that was cool for you and then ends up like being popular based off of something else. But then also that you point out that in those kind of days, I think when jQuery AJAX calls were first kind of being implemented more, it was probably way more heavy stuff on the client side. You'd ping with a JavaScript button call in this case, the server, it would do everything and then it would, you know, push it back out. Whereas we probably see a bit more shift of that to the client side now. So, wow. So you were also developing with APIs super early on.
I guess so. That's an early example. They probably didn't pop up too much, at least for a little while, but yeah, that totally.
So take us from there a little bit, because one of the great things that I've loved talking to you about is your experience with some of the frameworks, and not just one, but it seems like you've had some experience with a number of different ones and are plugged into a community that knows a lot of these. So at what point was it that learning more JavaScript deeply, learning more jQuery then became, hey, there are these other things and now I'm learning those? Was it just kind of out of interest need? Did it meet particular business needs?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think it might be helpful for me to kind of talk about roots for a second, because that's how I feel like I got into being like a real developer, or like not just copying and pasting code, but having to understand what I do, I guess. Like what am I building? Not just like, and making up new ways to do it, not just not just copying and pasting code or executing like, oh, here's a PSD, I'm going to turn this into a thing and use these old projects. I've always built themes. Actually, at that internship that I did in high school, we used WordPress before galleries, before all that. We had all that custom built. And actually, they still do it. Every single site is still custom built. So I've been working with custom templates and custom themes since forever. The template hierarchy is ingrained in my head. And like, you know, that's stuff that I still work with every day and I know it and you know, it's there. So when I went out on my own, I was interested in learning more about responsive design, and Bootstrap kind of came along at the same time. So I looked for a starter theme that had Bootstrap baked in. Thus kind of bringing me to Roots. And I think that's why a lot of people started using Roots.
I remember it when it was coming out too. Yep.
And so at the time, there's no build process. There's no asset pipeline. There's none of that stuff. It's just like, okay, well, there's minified CSS and minified JavaScript for Bootstrap, and a couple classes are already in there. We don't have CSS preprocessors, right? We just have a nice little starter theme to help you start your website. And as Roots grew, and again, Roots is just the theme at the time. As Roots grew, we started adding stuff, and I just started getting more and more involved because it was tools that helped me out in my everyday life. So why not contribute back? Now the team, Roots is the organization of the team, and then we have our different like products almost. But the Roots theme has gone from no build pipeline at all. I remember I was using CodeKit and I had a little tutorial on how to use CodeKit with Roots. And then CodeKit was doing all that cool stuff because I wanted to learn about Less. And then Roots adopted Grunt. Grunt was my first, because I was already kind of on the team, I had to install Node on my computer and be like, holy crap, JavaScript is running on my computer. And so that was the first time where I was like, okay, JavaScript doesn't just live in a browser. It's not just jQuery clicking things. And so after I kind of learned about that, Grunt wasn't cool anymore. Then along comes Gulp, right? So then Sage, and then I think at this point we had renamed Roots to Sage. And so Sage is now the new name of the starter theme. And fast forward to now where we have the Sage 9 beta is using Webpack for building. building. Yep. And we can talk about that more later if we want, but Webpack and all that. And so it's nice, you know, as we've made these transitions, it might've been a team decision, or it might've been just one of us being like, I'm going to hack on this for a while for myself. And if it works, I'm going to, you know, kind of get us to take a final look at it. And even just yesterday, I had to go back to my like deep JavaScript node roots. And I was trying to make a script that on our site that checks for a minimum node version for Sage. And so it's fun how, wow, you know, working on an open source project can help you realize, you know, there's, you kind of have to, you're almost forced, because you care about it so much, you're almost forced to start learning, learning more deeply about things, because it's not just for a client project. You're going to have to answer support requests. You're going to have to answer when somebody has a legitimate question or says, why didn't you do it this way? You're going to have to say something. So
and it's a vocal community.
Totally. Well, WordPress community is vocal. And on top of that, Sage is fairly opinionated. And a lot of, like, I think very good programmers are fairly opinionated because they've been doing it for a while, or, you know, whatever. They were taught a certain way, or they've made up a certain way. But the Roots PHP project is like the most starred PHP project on GitHub. So, or it might be either Roots or WordPress now, but it's, you know, Sage is extremely widely used. So at this point, it's pretty important for me to have a good understanding of it.
Wow, man, that is so wild, and something that is kind of a little bit out of the norm. So a lot of folks are learning on their own. They maybe have their work or client work that they're doing, but getting involved with an open source project, and not just a little project of yours that you open source on GitHub, but really one that's being used, that has a community, that has really intelligent developers using it and in production. So there's a lot of accountability. I can't even imagine, but I can pick up a little bit from you, like, Jesus, everything that must have involved. But at the same time, this was a project that was continuing. It went from Grunt to Gulp to Webpack, and we could have an hour-long discussion probably just about the whys behind just that, but that you've had this exposure and continuing involvement, that is amazing. And to other people who could get out there, do you think that that's something that there's still opportunities for others to get involved, whether it's in something like Sage or another project, and have some of that experience?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing about open source is I started on Sage just answering questions, because I was watching it on GitHub, and when people would ask a question that I knew the answer to, I would get to it because I knew that the guys were already spending so much time programming, right? And so I just started, you know, and then I realized, wow, I know a pretty good amount of this. Like, I have a new feature idea. So I think the idea of aligning yourself with a tool that you use every day, or building one and putting it out there, especially in the JavaScript community right now, because it's so GitHub focused. It's so outside of WordPress community. I mean, just JavaScript right now is GitHub is like, you can see things that are trending. You can, you know, start to build these packages, these little packages that do a lot, and put them on NPM. And I think getting involved in open source has taught me a lot about learning, and also about like what to learn next sometimes, because it's a good GitHub, the community on GitHub, isn't like, there's too many people there just to be like a bunch of cronies. It's everybody. It's super open. So it's a good opportunity for anybody at any level, I think, to get in. And I always encourage people to put their stuff out there. I mean, it's really not that hard learning Git. There's free courses online. It's such an important skill set. And then if you already know how to use Git, you basically know how to use GitHub. And it's great, you know.
Well, so, man, that is awesome advice. No, it completely does. And it also gave a resource, which is check out GitHub. And I could say that in, you know, the master course that I'm doing, I'm like 98% pointing to resources on GitHub, and like 2% of them are plugins or things in an actual like WordPress directory somewhere, you know, more for authentication type stuff or something like that. But cool. So I want to transition a little bit from that. You know, you've talked about how many different technologies are out there that you've come across and had to learn. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal learning style? When you know that there's something you want to learn, what are the steps or processes that you go through?
Yeah. Yeah, so I think a lot of times, because I've been traditionally a freelancer, and make no mistake, I have a company now, but the company is basically me and my business partner, who is, we hired each other for years. He's more of a designer, but he does code, which is awesome.
By nice. The way.
It's just having that kind of, that kind
icing
of
on the cake right there
is amazing. He's a freaking unicorn. you know, having that, I'm still kind of a freelancer, and we really like, the reason why we align so well is because we like to push ourselves, just as a general goal. And I think it's totally okay if programmers are interested in learning something, knowing how to do it, clocking into work, getting it done, and then going home. But the way programming has worked for me has been something more than that. It's a lot of personal interest. It's a lot of like self-discovery, I think. So when I go to learn something new, I usually am thinking about something that is probably important to know, based on like, maybe I saw it on Twitter, I saw something at a conference that was like, you should learn how to do this. I will find a client, and that client will have a project, and they will say, can you build this? And I'll say, I think so. And so, you know, maybe the client knows this, and maybe the client has a sneaky suspicion that I don't exactly know what I'm talking about. But if you price things fairly and you promise to deliver, then there's no harm in my opinion, there's no harm in learning while, I mean, we're always learning, but there's no harm in using a good, really good project as a reason to learn something deeply. That said, before I went in and learned any of the JavaScript frameworks, and we haven't gotten to this yet, but before I've learn any of them, I always build a tiny project, and it's not a to-do list, because there's too many to-do list examples. But before I went to build this big Angular application, I took a second and was like, hold on, I need to make sure Angular is going to work for this. Based on all my readings, it was basically a big form, like Angular 1, this was Angular 1 time. At the time, Angular was the best thing to handle forms, and I still maintain it does forms extremely well on form validation.
Brings all that stuff to the table, out of the box.
Totally, out of the box without having to add anything. I was like, I gotta build something. So I actually built something called whatthefuckshouldinamemyband.com, which just grabs stuff from an API, actually from Twitter. And that's open source. I can provide you with a link, but it's just a tiny little Angular app. And I was like, do I even understand how it works? And once I got past a couple little things and read some resources, it turned out to be exactly what I should use for the project. Believe it or not, I didn't start the project in Angular. I actually started it in Ember.
That was,
I think I might have done the test when I was like, I'm in over my head with Ember. And started reading more about Angular and was like, why didn't I start building this in Angular? And it's still on Angular to this day, and it works great. So yeah, I mean, we haven't really talked about this, but you know, I've been kind of my role in like helping you a little bit, or even just kind of where we started having these discussions has been, you know, like, I unfortunately or fortunately have production experience using Ember, Angular 1, and React. And then on top of that, I do have some backbone experience as well, just more interfacing with WordPress and hanging out with those guys. But I think what happened was, the same way that I gravitated towards CSS when I first started learning programming, I just liked the way it worked and I liked the way it flowed. JavaScript has just, ever since I kind of came across it, I always have liked the way that it feels to program it. It's fun. Well, and it's forgiving in a way that's like, you can be a bad programmer, but you start to notice things that you're doing and you want to go fix them. And especially with all the new JavaScript stuff, which is why I think it's so great that you're teaching it in this style, it's like a real programming language, but it's still fun. And I love that.
Well, I have to jump in here now and say, first of all, there are not many people you talk to that are like, yeah, man, love me some JavaScript. It's fun. I like it. But I feel the same way. I do enjoy it. I've had experience teaching and programming with other languages, and I have always dug it. It's always been quirky as get out, but a lot of that has to do with implementation and browser support and other things, less necessarily with the language is capable of it, and it's growing so much. And to backtrack a little bit, so you mentioned that you like to take on projects, especially new ones that might bring in new technologies. And I like what you said, how when, you know, they're like, can you do this? And you're like, I think so. And a lot of folks would be like, yes, I can, or wouldn't even take on a project at all. Some folks are like, you know, I don't really recommend jumping into that without it. And I've kind of had experience both ways. And it's funny that you even brought up that switching into Angular because got in deep with Ember and you're like, oh, wait, hold on. This is like either not working or frustrating or something's not right, and you look at something else. And I remember so many times, every time I'd learn a new language, it was like, okay, I'll build this next project in it, then I'd get like 30 to 70%, and I'm like, I'll just go back to this other one. So
it sucks when you're at 70%. It sucks when you're at 70%. It sucks when you're at 90%. And that's what happened to me. I was at 90%, and the rest of the 10% was literally going to be either impossible. And this project had already eaten up so much of my time. And I remember going back and just being like, I'm going to have to rebuild this. And I know we're over it, but I'm not happy with the way that this works, and I'm not comfortable being paid for it. And I picked the wrong thing, and I'm sorry. And that happened. And luckily, the client was cool, and my client was actually like the design agency that I had done some work through. It was the right decision, even though it sucked for a second. And I also got some good knowledge there. Sometimes there are just you just don't use the right tool for the job. And I think especially with JavaScript frameworks, and that's what a couple of my talks have been on WordPress TV and talking to you about, there are some right tools for the job, I think. And or at least there definitely were at that point. And you know, things are changing a little bit. So
I want to kind of ask two things here. One, to press you a little bit more on exactly how it is that you go about learning. Is it, do you pick up just through articles? Do you like to read the whole documentation first? Are you just looking at other pieces of code and pulling those in? And then maybe also if you could mention, when you're doing that research project, how do you determine whether something is a good fit? Like, how would you have known to look at comparing Angular and Ember at that time, or React and Vue now, to get an idea of what those are?
Yeah. So I'm really glad you asked that question, because it made me remember what I was going to say, which was, when I was Googling how to do blank thing in Ember, it would, if I removed the Ember word, an Angular tutorial would come up, and not just one Angular tutorial, but 10 Angular tutorials or 20 Angular tutorials. And I went, wait a second. Like, so community is a big part of any framework that you're going to use.
Yeah.
And I learned that, because coming traditionally as a WordPress developer, I'm used to, when I Google something, it's there, because so many people have already gone through that struggle. And it was very evident that Angular had that community. In my opinion, that community sometimes doesn't write the cleanest code. And I think this, it might not be the best freaking code in the world, and it might not be quite as beautiful, but they got their job done at the end of the day. And that does say a lot. And that also opens up a lot of opportunity to learn. So, to answer your first question, the first thing I do, and that kind of ties in, is the first thing I do is actually, I love to look at a community behind a project, and I love to look at a community behind. So like, how many stars did it have on GitHub? What's the frequency of the committers? Is it just one committer, or is it like a pretty good like mix of people?
Interesting.
And that tells you that multiple eyeballs have looked on it, looked at it. And that's a huge part in a lot of WordPress company VIP agencies. I know, I just read a really good article from one of my friends at Ally Interactive, where they talk about code reviews and how important they are. And finding, you know, before you pick a framework or before you pick a thing, I like to look at the community and make sure, like, oh, is this multiple people think about this? So take it a step back. I think you're asking, like, how do I find out about it? I used to think Twitter was, like, dumb. You're supposed to tweet, like, I'm eating a sandwich now. But now that I've kind of followed the right people I've kind of curated it to be, like, a decent amount of JavaScript developers. Nice. Even if it's not particularly I don't really do Ember anymore, but I still follow Ember developers because I like to know what's up. And then sometimes there will be trolls on there like, oh yeah, React did this 10 days ago or like something like that. But it's that helps you find out about new stuff and it helps you. I've definitely used Twitter as a huge resource for picking up new things to learn. The first time I see it, I might open it up, and I do like documentation. If it's good documentation, that means a lot to me. I've always been the kind of guy that like gets an appliance or gets something and reads the user manual all the way through, and then loses it. But it's the same thing for code. You know, if the documentation is nicely thought out and put there, I read a lot through documentation. Mm-hmm. I read a lot through examples. I learn by doing, but even more before I can commit to doing, I think I need to at least have a kind of ethereal concept of how it works in my head, you know, before I can sit down and play with it.
Completely. Cool. So along this path of so many different things out there that you can learn, we have so many frameworks. The JavaScript world on its own is huge. It's getting bigger, in the WordPress world itself. But where do you think that JavaScript and API-driven development fits in with the WordPress ecosystem right now? Because I think there's still some confusion over, hey, am I just supposed to start rebuilding all my themes in pure JavaScript? And it sounds like you still use PHP templates, but I know you also have a lot of other projects, and where is decoupled something that you should be doing versus just to do it? And where would you say we are kind of with all of this right now from your perspective?
Yeah. It's a super good question. And I think it's a really exciting one because there's a lot of answers to it. And it was funny. I was actually just catching up with a friend today who said he's made it his goal to learn JavaScript more deeply, like over 2016 and this year. And he built something in React and showed it to me, and I was really proud of him because, you know, he was kind of emulating like a theme almost. Mm-hmm. So basically using WordPress as a CMS. And I was just talking to another friend 2 days ago who built this whole thing on, actually on Ember, but it talks to the WordPress API. I think a short answer is, any way you want to do it, but I do see two routes, and I think those kind of depend on how you're going to do stuff. One of those routes, and what I currently do more of, is using JavaScript as a little bit of sugar. So not just like
a little something sweet.
Exactly. Not just like maybe jQuery with some interactions, but you know, you're still using the WordPress template hierarchy. That way plugins that you might use, can still print out the stuff they need to the page. They can yes. still enqueue the JavaScript they need to. Plugins are a big part of a lot of WordPress sites. And I think people forget when they talk about, oh, I'm going to redo my whole front end in JavaScript, like with the API. Okay, well, does every single one of your plugins have an API endpoint yet? And yeah. How are you going to handle form submissions? Like, are you going to rebuild your whole, you know, I mean, Gravity Forms and Ninja Forms and all these other plugins, like they're not going to drop off the face of the planet. Those things are still needed. And
yeah.
And until there is endpoints for every plugin, I think you really have to look at, like, because WordPress sites evolve too. People call you in months and they go, oh, we'll need this new feature. Are you ready to build that new feature in 100% front end JavaScript? Or
oh dear goodness, can you imagine that?
You know what I mean? Like, or do you want to freaking install a plugin that's made exactly for that and coded correctly? So the approach that we take right now at CraftBeak for a lot of our stuff is build with an API in mind, even if we're not using it right out of the gate. use the API internally. And I actually just had a discussion with a developer that we're using who, you know, we're building, we didn't really talk about this, but my company has evolved being out of Asheville and all that stuff. We do websites for craft breweries now. We have kind of like a SaaS platform built on WordPress multi-sites and all this extra jazz. And I won't go. Yeah, thanks. And actually, it's 5, so I'm going to drink a Holy City Brewing, which is out of Charleston.
I got my status mug here, so we'll virtual cheers.
Cheers, and I'm going to open this because it's 5, and that's company culture, especially on a Friday.
It's good radio here, folks. JavaScript for WordPress after hours officially now.
So, anyways, you know, one of the things we're doing is building this really interactive What's on Tap builder for breweries. And it needs to be really easy for breweries to decide, you know, have their tap list for their rooms and bar managers to easily go in on their iPad.
Okay.
And be like, and this is a good example for all these questions because it needs to work quickly. It needs to be easy to get in. We don't want to have a bunch of people logging in and changing like post content and blogging. You know, we just want them to update what beers are on tap and where.
Gotcha. Because some of these very beers have specific use case of a post type.
And so we were gonna, it actually is, there's no other way to do it. It's actually a custom table because of completely crazy actually. But it's a custom table because of the relationships between the custom the custom post type of beers, the beers formats taxonomy, because we have beer formats like cans, bottles, all this stuff, as well as the ability to add in things that don't exist yet, like one-off guest taps and, you know, ciders and stuff that the brewery doesn't do. So anyways, it's a long story short, we were talking about using Admin Ajax, and I was like, okay, well, we could, but at the same time, like, how much longer is it going to take us to make this a little bit more future-proof and use the API?
Interesting, yep.
And so going back to the idea of everything we build, we want to be either available with an API, or we have in our plugin that provides most of our platform's functionality, we have spots to register API endpoints, even though we haven't made those yet because we're not using them in the wild. That said, like, as I go to build the front end out of this site, we have a kind of like a beer sorting mechanism. I previously built that for Wicked Weed in Angular. When we rebuild it, it will be in React.
Interesting.
And so, you know, I think it's important to remember that like you can have WordPress serve up a page, and then you can use the API to grab data quickly, or you can even put the critical data in a JSON blob in your freaking HTML. It's cached in the page cache. If you're using PageCache, and you should be using PageCache, it's cached in there, and your JavaScript knows that it's there, and then everything you need to do after that happens so quickly. It's so reactive, it's so interactive, and you can have JavaScript hijack the page after that first load.
Yeah.
Or you could go totally, I don't know if you've seen like the WordExpress app, kind of that stack. But
Node stack from the bottom up.
You can use WordPress as a CMS. Because what a beautiful editing experience. What a great way to, you know, I mean, really registering custom post types and stuff is not that hard. And then you have all these models ready for you. And then you have the API already built. And this is what I'm considering for our new site, just for fun, is building, you know, having our CMS completely decoupled and using the API and then having Express as a in between a small, and for those who don't know, it's just a little node server that serves, you know, it serves pages. And then having React able to be on the front end, and as well as for that first page load, be on the back end, and then React and Webpack and all
serve
those
it
other
up
fancy,
immediately. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful tools. And even between the WordPress and the other thing, you can have caching. It's really cool because the more you decouple things, the more you get to learn about these new technologies. The problem is the more you know, potential gears you're throwing into the, or wrenches you're throwing into the gears. And so it's important to think in mind, like, don't get too in over your head. At the end of the day, we got to build stuff. And it's fun to say you launched something. It's not very fun to say, well, I've got a couple projects, but I haven't finished any of them yet.
It is literally stressful to carry that around, especially as folks who like what we do and are very involved in it. You know, the more involved attention, there's emotional connection. There's a lot there. So yeah, totally. Being able to come through with that.
Yeah. So, wow. So there's a lot of different, long story short, there's so many different ways we can do it now. I think a really doable, reasonable way is most of our backend still uses WordPress and advanced custom fields. But there's gotcha. A couple places where we have our own custom stuff that we need to do. And when I go to do that, I put React on the page. It's included on every admin page that needs it. And then we get to do stuff. We can talk to the API. We can talk to our own API endpoints. We can talk to external APIs. We can grab data from somewhere else if we need to. It's possible to integrate the two without having to be completely black and white. I think that's important to note, especially for WordPress community-wise, you know.
Cool. Well, I'm really glad that you reinforced that and that that's been your experience as well, because you're right. When you try to build something completely with JavaScript and you don't have access to the JavaScript that WordPress plugins or WordPress itself is outputting, then you do find yourself having to recreate a lot of functionality at this point. I'm very excited because I'm hoping that a lot of my students will go out and start building endpoints for plugins. because it is the ripe time. I'm telling you, if you want to get out there and contribute, I bet a lot of plugin developers would love to, if they're not already working on it. A lot of them are and aware of it, but there's that just opens up more and more of what we could pull into it. But you're right that having that base, whether it's a theme or plugin, having that PHP wrapper there to house everything, and then just dropping in that JavaScript, oh so sweet. So I'm gonna ask you about some resources that other folks can go to, but I kind of want to end with our last real big question here, which is, you know, we've all heard the phrase of learn JavaScript deeply. And again, that means a lot of things to different people, but I'm curious from your perspective, what does that mean to you? And then how does someone know if they're, you know, how far along they are on that path or where they get to the end?
I think it does mean a lot of things. And yesterday, trying to write a script that executes in Node, realizing I didn't have access to ES6 because I literally couldn't install, I couldn't require a dependency before it was already installed. So we're trying to make sure we can run NPM install, right? And I need to make sure the Node version is high enough. I had to go back and use what version of Node supports this? I went back and it's a very small script and it's just pure JavaScript with a loop and a little bit of regex. And it's maybe 10 lines of code. It's not that much, but I spent a couple hours on it and it made me realize
regex will do that to you too.
Yeah. Regex will do that to you. Right. But you know, it makes you realize learn JavaScript deeply. I can use three different JavaScript frameworks comfortably in production. And it still took me 2 hours to write regular JavaScript. So right there, case in point, I have no idea. And actually, you know, I got poached. It's reminding me. I got poached for a job interview for Facebook and Instagram while I was traveling.
Oh,
and
wow.
I was so flattered and honored. Normally I just say no, sorry, I got a thing going on. But I was like, you know what? What is it like to interview as a JavaScript front-end developer for these people?
Tell me.
So I took it. And the answer is I don't know shit. he starts asking me a lot of what I would imagine is more computer science.
Yes.
Traditional loops and what is the difference between, you know, how does the call stack function? And I know some about this, but when you're building things at that kind of scale, it's very important to actually have that deep knowledge. And while I'm not saying you need to go learn that right now, learning basic JavaScript without jQuery or without React or without anything else makes everything so much clearer when you go to learn it with those tools. And this is going to be a shameless plug for React, but you know, when I started learning React, it became evident that this was the tool to use for a lot of different situations, because at the end of the day, it is just JavaScript. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been the biggest thing for me. And I'll tell you guys, just for everybody watching, I built a full single page React application, and every time I get to open it back up for new features and enhancements, I freaking love it. I love working in it. It's massive. It takes more than $1 million in payments a year. It's like basically kind of like a big, really friendly walkthrough form, and it talks to a Yii backend. WordPress wasn't a good use case as a backend for this application, but it's fun and it's great. And when you say like learn JavaScript deeply, I think step one, a lot of the stuff you're teaching is pretty good. Like a lot of this like early JavaScript stuff, I really also enjoy a lot of, who's the other? It's blanking on me now. Who's the other guy who does?
Wes Boss?
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's totally Wes.
It's totally Wes.
I took a lot of his courses in the beginning. They're still helpful. They're still great. They're still relevant. Definitely shout out. And once you get past that, I think picking a project and picking something to actually build, those examples aren't real life production examples. They're far from it. But it's important to understand those concepts, and you're going to write better JavaScript code if you understand how JavaScript works by itself.
So, wow, you just rocked this question solid, and I can relate so much because, one, it's really hard to say what is JavaScript deeply, but then even for someone like you who I turn to for a lot of work, and I'm learning and know my own stuff as well, but for you to come across something that's so simple or like kind of small but still takes so much to figure out. And I think that happens a lot when we get down to the core JavaScript. And then at a whole nother level, there's the way of thinking the computer science, like behind it. So we often, you know, learn about ifs, conditionals, that sort of thing. But when we're learning web program, we don't learn usually a lot of the theory and different ways of thinking and problem solving that would just never be presented through normal tutorials that you see on the web. So that doesn't surprise me that at that Facebook level, you know, these kind of things are coming up. And that's really tough to learn. So you have that about the language, but then even the infrastructure behind it, you know, it sounds like even the technologies that JavaScript has to rely on or connect with, then you get into things like the call stack or performance and connection with other things. And then you're into kind of memory areas and a whole lot of other, you know, the connections and all this. So whew, I hear you and I feel you, yeah, man.
I think, you know, on that point, because we're talking specifically to WordPress people, it's not in the documentation to talk about the memory load or the memory performance of PHP or JavaScript. It just says like, this is how you up your max memory limit. I mean, it's stuff that we don't have to learn if you're jumping in it from that point. Yeah. And it does become important, actually. It does when you start looking at these huge production applications. It does. And it's cool to think that WordPress community is, we've gotten so much done. There's a huge community. It's a big application that powers so much of the web. And at the same time, a lot of developers that work on WordPress sites do not know what types are or typecasting or like what is a Boolean versus a string and why is that important? And it is, thank you, JavaScript. Thank you, PHP, for getting better at these things. PHP 7 is so much better. All of our functions that we build actually require and expect types if we need them. Okay. Same thing with JavaScript, some of the JavaScript that we build. So I think it is important just to remember, don't get too over your head, but learning JavaScript deeply is a lot about learning about the performance and learning about the basics, and then taking that to the next level and not quite letting everything do it for you, I think. Because we, you know, WordPress does a lot for us. It has a date function that really piggybacks off of PHP's date. That's one difference. And you don't learn sometimes about that PHP date. And so it's important, I think, to take a step, like remove yourself from the WordPress And actually, I think the first person you had on the show was
Royce,
like,
Royce don't, Ahmad, stop using yeah. WordPress.
Stop using WordPress. And like, yeah, totally. Do it. And then realize how much wonderful stuff WordPress does for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow. Yeah. Again, so beautifully put. I want to trail off of this and kind of our last question here. Maybe you could paint a path for folks in two scenarios for us. One who knows that they need to get into JavaScript, hears what they're saying, has had it on their list for a year or two now. Y'all know who you are. Some of you are my students, haven't started yet. Let's get it rolling. How would you suggest, like, what are the resources? What are the specific things that you think that they need to learn? But then also for someone who is maybe more in your position or a more experienced developer, has more background with languages, can pick this stuff more easily, but doesn't maybe know some of the more performance things, maybe doesn't know, oh, how should I structure my app? What should I do about architecture? What are best practices? Maybe you could point out some resources for them to just keep getting deeper and deeper there too.
Okay. Yeah. So for the first, first group of people who I'm just going to probably assume that you're like maybe WordPress themers, or, you know, you do some stuff with that. The first thing you need to do is sign up for Zach's course. Honestly, it's not that hard for me to say that you're going to learn some really good stuff. I also really do enjoy Wes's content, but it's going to be more geared towards non WordPress, you know, situations. And so I think it is important to remember that, because the angle that you come at it is easier to understand, in that way. For people who might want to learn, I hope that helps. So hold on really quick for that first group. I think some resources are obviously taking this class. Some other resources are just not resources, but like, just be like, listen, this is what I'm going to do on a Saturday. I'm going to spin up a WordPress site, and I'm going to talk to the API. I'm going to figure out how the API works. And in order to do that, I would recommend using something like, before you even open up your JavaScript console, open up Postman in Chrome and learn some more about API requests and how those work. JavaScript client side works really well with APIs and JSON. JavaScript loves JSON. And so I would open that up, check that out. As soon as you're done with that, use JavaScript by itself if you want. I think that's good. I think your example will be short, and then you'll want to do something more. And then I would recommend reading about frameworks, or if you want a spoiler, you could listen to my talk. And then
I recommend it, everyone.
Yeah. And then I think I've done it actually twice, and both of them are good because they have some different content. But at the end of the day, really at this point, I really enjoy React. I think a lot of people have been using it. It might be fun just because I think it's the closest to JavaScript by itself than any of the other frameworks, regardless of, like, Vue's great and it's easy to use, but I still think there's a little more magic there than React by itself. I'm not saying like Redux and all that other stuff. Yeah. I'm saying a React, like mount a React component and get that to be your magical thing that does the API call, and then make a bunch of little components that are your posts or your pages, and like call it a day. You've just learned a lot. And that might take you a day, it might take you a weekend, it might take you 2 weeks, but I think that is gonna be a really cool, forget about build processes and forget about Webpack, because you're gonna learn about that in Zach's course. I think it's important to really, I think it's important to take a step back and just play with stuff. But in a real world situation, because if not, you're just going to be like, why would I not keep writing PHP?
Yeah.
Because my React app that I open up every time when I get to make a change, I'm like, yeah, this is so good.
You want that feeling, folks. Come and get it.
You want it. For that second group of people, I would say, so there's this talk, I'm going to have to send you the link because I can't remember.
Okay, but we'll get it in the show notes.
Yeah, there's a talk about the JavaScript loop and like the event loop and how JavaScript actually runs things. that makes you realize JavaScript is a wacky, messed up piece of whatever in the browser. And in the terminal, it is, in your kernel, it's not too much better. And it helps you understand a little bit more. Once I get past that, I think the first thing you need to do is really learn more about ES6. You can learn this by messing with Node by itself a little bit and just executing some scripts or working on the front end. I think that might depend on more what you're good at. If you're traditionally a plugin developer and you think a little more in back-end code, the front end might not be helpful for you, and maybe playing with Node scripts might be a little bit more
some good advice
easy to
yep.
get. Mm-hmm. Because just so you guys know, you can run JavaScript in the kernel. It doesn't have to run in the browser. And it's not that hard.
It's really just like writing your JavaScript normally. I think a lot of folks feel like, oh, it's something completely different. But no, you just run it right there and it works. You have to get a little bit into the server setup. But again, the Express servers are so simple to run in. And you can even run it in console. So.
Yeah, and for everyone looking into doing, JavaScript really deeply over the next couple of years, we've got some things that are coming out that are super important to learn about. And this is for myself as well. If you look at awaits and you look at how to deal with promises, I think that promises in general, as we work with APIs, as we talk about speed, as we talk about maintainability, super important. Look at the difference between a constant, a let, and your variable. I think as we look into taming this beast of JavaScript, a lot of these new language features really, really, really help with performance. And that can help because that React application that I built runs great in Chrome. But I've seen old browsers struggle. And it's because it still works. Yeah. It still works. But you see it start to struggle and you go, how could I have written that better so that wouldn't have happened? Because the goal is a very reactive experience that can't be delivered on server-side render. You can't get the same. You can't get that close. Watching a React app with preloading and Webpack building things as you need it and loading things as you need it, using that app is freaking amazing. And when I first published it, it used to crash. It crashed on mobile, an older Safari window, because Safari was couldn't handle it. And so, as you learn JavaScript deeply, for those who already know JavaScript, like, you're so not done. I'm so not done.
No, you're not.
it's a lot of that is about performance. And it comes down to, I think, a lot of things like looking at promises and looking at all these new syntax that are coming out in the JavaScript language natively that help us with these everyday problems. Sorry, one more thing is not related to JavaScript, but actually totally related to JavaScript is functional programming.
That's a good one to mention. Yes.
And looking into how that works and how you might be able to apply that and across all development languages and the benefits, as well as some of the differences between a more traditional object-oriented programming or anything like that. So I know that's a long answer. I'm sorry. It's a long answer, but
you go and hit rewind, watch that again. That is some good advice. I'm not even gonna try to recap it, but I think you laid out some great paths for folks starting off, or folks getting deeper, talking a lot about their performance, different things to look at with the newness of JavaScript and how it's improving. So I am just so grateful to you for coming on. I'm really grateful for your continued help with my course, and you've seen everything that I've been rolling out and have been watching that. So thank you for recommending it. I've been working really hard in the last year teaching JavaScript. I say I teach it deeply, but I think I'm kind of feeling I could teach you up to the point deeply of where then you really need to go and start doing some stuff in production, because that's when you really get into experiencing some of the bigger issues, bigger problems, stuff that comes up in that sense. But so grateful to have you on the show. Folks, please subscribe. We're on iTunes. We're on YouTube here. Follow Julian and myself on Twitter. Ask any questions you might have. Check out the Roots projects that the Roots team does if you're looking for some really solid templates. I'm sorry, some tools
things.
For building.
Tools.
Just stay. Go check it out. Craft Peak in Asheville. Let's plug them again. Check out that little shop. If you know a craft brewery that needs a little spicing up to their infrastructure and website, maybe reach out to Julian here. And again, if you're taking my course, you've probably got some advice from him along in there. So again, just super grateful to have you on the show. And that wraps it up for us. So we will see you next time. Take
Thanks.
Care, everyone.
See ya.
Bye.